Welcome, Sega fans, to the podcast where Sega is all I want. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and I'm joined by the Axel to my pie chart. It's James the Segaholic. Mate, how you doing?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. I should just have started up with, yeah. I'm very good, mate. Very good yourself.
Yes, it's a bit toasty, mate. Starting a heat wave's kicking in down here. Don't know what it's like up your way, but it's what it's at the time of recording. It's nearly 11 o'clock at night, and it's absolutely sweltering in this room. And this is probably the coolest room in the house.
Well, we've avoided the sunshine, but it's clammy as hell.
Yeah.
It's been like raining pretty much non-stop for the last couple of days. See, I went to my daughter's, kind of was like a learning at lunch kind of thing today, and but this part of it was like an outside kind of picnic thing, so did that, and it was fine. It had been raining, but it had been for a wee while, so it was dry enough for them to go out. The minute they went back in, and we went back around at like 10 to 3 to wait for them to come out for the normal kind of like class, and I didn't take a jacket, and mate, the heavens opened. I got soaked, man, like a drunk rat, as they say up here, a drunk rat. So that was it. But it's still clammy, so got a big fan on upstairs. We bought a big one of these bladeless air fan things.
Yeah.
Big fucking Dyson looking thing. So one of them, mate, constantly on blast to keep the bedroom cool. But aye.
Yeah, it's the same here. Clammy's not the word, but yeah. Well,
that concludes your weather report from the Sega guys.
Well, mate, it's the summer. And the summer means Summer Games Fest. It used to mean E3 back in the day.
Oh, good old days, mate. I miss E3. Fucking COVID. Killed it.
Yeah, I know. It's tragic. And, you know, something that Sega actually had a hand in starting. Mm. Kicked off the very first one, launching the Saturn. Probably not the best way to launch the show, but...
It's memorable.
It's certainly memorable. But yeah, it was so established, and you know, every summer it'd be like grabbing the magazines in the first instance. What's going on at E3? You see like big E3 blowout going through Games Master or CMVG or Sega Saturn magazine, going through all these screenshots of everything that's been shown there, all these newly released games. Later on, when it was like Xbox era, you know, and YouTube was in its infancy. Well, before YouTube, you had like GameSpot. Was it GameSpot?
Aye, GameSpot.
That was about, wasn't it? You'd go on, you'd see the videos buffering.
Mate, do you remember the 1UP show?
Yes. Yes,
that was phenomenal.
It was quality, yeah.
Oh, it was so good, man. I used to watch the videos that I would download them. I think was it for like, iTunes Store? I got them on because I had an iPod Color. I used to sit in my work in my office and be allowed to listen to headphones at the time in that job I was in. And I had my iPod Color and I had that podcast, the 1UP show, on that, and just to sit and just chuckle away. It was so good. But I GameSpot as well. The E3 coverage was always something you look forward to. Like, E3 was a pure highlight. You know what I mean? And then it's a shame that it's kind of made way for these summer games fests. You get Jeff Keighley turning up looking like an extra for the Emmys or the Oscars, you know what I mean? Like the Game Awards and whatnot. I know they've all got their own kind of wee shows now, and it's kind of quite good that it's kind of laser focused on each platform and that, but there was always something special about E3. The fact that the whole industry just came together to show off like the best they had. It was like a kind of like almost like kind of one-upmanship, you know. We've seen it before with $2.99, you know, or started back then, but it was just, it was brilliant. I really miss E3.
There's
something from a bygone era of gaming, mate. Another relic these days, unfortunately.
Yeah, because obviously they have their own shows now, and we'll be talking about stuff that was shown at those shows. Two games in particular, obviously, we're going to be really focusing on today. But yeah, they have their own shows now, but they always had their own keynotes, didn't they?
Yes.
You know, in the latter day. And you'd have, you know, Peter Moore, then, you know, Phil Spencer in the later days, and they'll come out on the stage. And wasn't Keanu Reeves, wasn't that when Keanu Reeves was on the stage when they were doing one for Cyberpunk?
You're breathtaking.
Yeah, and I think wasn't that when Xbox really built the Xbox One? And that was it E3 where PlayStation basically did a $2.99 again and went, This is how you share a video game on PS4.
That was so, it was cheesy but effective. Now, of course, you've got E3 for the PS3, Kaz Hirai. Look, everyone, it's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer! And then, like, the guy shows it, Dynasty Warriors or something. So this is actually set on real feudal Japan mythology. And what we've got here is this giant enemy crab. It's like,
Hit
what
the
the?
weak spot for massive damage.
Like, oh my God. And like, was it either Kaz Hirai or Ken Kutaragi? One of the two. They said that you'll have to work to earn your
People were
PlayStation 3.
work two jobs to buy a PlayStation 3. No, they
No, they'll
won't.
know. No, they'll know, mate. They'll just buy a Wii and then sell it for profit as a trade-in towards it. That's what they'll do. That's what I did. But aye, but there's so many good moments. Like, even Xbox 360, like launch or unveiling as well. You like Robbie Back, Peter Moore, Jay Allard. You know what I mean? And about unveiling like the marketplace and the HD era of gaming. You know what I mean? So obviously, Peter Moore's iconic two moments. The Halo tattoo and the Grand Theft Auto 4 tattoo as well. So, or the probably those tattoos that you get like lucky bags and like a
Yeah,
bit
the
of
transfer.
paper, rub it on, peel it off really, really slow so it doesn't come away. Ah, fuck, I've ripped it. Take
Trying
it back. That's
to
it.
pat it down, lick it and
Fish
pat it
stabbers on
down.
there. Fuck it. That's it. Pat it down. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Now, mate, we just got and it depresses me a bit because you got it just shows the kind of the free platforms, and then the Summer Games Fest, which Summer Games Fest is a poor substitute for E3, but it's all we got. And then you've just got the Nintendo Direct, the PlayStation Showcase, is it?
Something like I
And then, oh no, it's the Xbox Showcase and the PlayStation something shows how much credence I pay those things. And of course, everything going on at Xbox at the moment. I do find it funny that Xbox had a really good summer for revealing games and everything's positive. And now it seems like the knives are out in the media again. It's like Sony are like, oh, we had a shit E3, so we're going to, or not E3, we had a shit summer game season, so we're going to dig up some dirt on Xbox and get our friends in the media to talk shit about them. How much of it's true, I don't know.
Oh, mate, like for them to have the show they had, right? And like Asha comes out, and you know, she's already rolled back the price of Game Pass, so she get goodwill that way. You know, they're talking about reassessing Project Helix and whatnot to might not be a hybrid anymore, it might just be a standard traditional console. Bringing back exclusives, they clawed back Gears E-Day, that's only on Xbox on console. I think Elder Scrolls is going to be console exclusive on Xbox. And then the following week, they decided it was a Man of Stone on the Discord, or it was a Kaiju Leviathan. Why the two of the boys? And he says, Microsoft have basically had a good show, then walked out the door and stepped on a rake.
Yeah, they
It's
keep
like,
the meme,
you had
isn't it? They
this.
keep stepping on rakes like
Aye.
Sideshow Bob.
Aye. It's like, you had this brilliant show. You won a lot of goodwill, a lot of positivity. And then it's like, we're sacking everybody. We're shutting studios down. And it's, I mean, it's not funny. It's a sad. It's a lot of talented people that will be put out of work, more talented people put out of work. And it was always a danger, you know, whenever they're buying up all these studios. Like, was there a sustainability for you to? I think it's as well, like, for the amount of studios I've got, the number of games hasn't increased as well. Like, there's people thought there was going to be this deluge of games, like quality games, because they were buying all these really good studios. And then, like, it seems to be they've just all stagnated. Like, remember the initiative? They set that
Yeah.
up as a quadruple A studio, and that was meant to be the be all and end all.
Yeah, with
And
Perfect Dark.
then Perfect Dark, and it just hit the boy for Insomnia. And Insomniac Games came on board, and then I think his brother passed away and he kind of quit, which is understandable. And then he ended up getting back to Insomniac again. But then the initiative just died a death. It just was never any news, was never any progress or any kind of sign that they were doing anything. Just again, and we've said before, remember whenever Sarah Bond kept on teasing Sega stuff. She was on like a train or something, and she would take a picture going by Sega HQ, and like all the Xbox podcasters are going, "It's a sign, man." And they had this whole Goldberg style mentality at the time. They were quite kind of arrogant with it. Like, "You're next. Who we buy next?" And it's like, you know, you've bought them all, but you can't sustain them. You can't run them all. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. So thank God that Sega never gets swallowed up, because it would be quite angering to see them, you know, subject to these layoffs and whatnot. And you see the kind of stuff, the volume that you sent me a photo on WhatsApp. It was like RGG's output in the same period as like Xbox Game Studios. And it's like,
It's the equivalent of and I'll just try and find it again, but it's like four Xbox studios that RGG have made, like, in the same period. They've made about 20 odd games, and Xbox Studios have managed about eight. Not all Xbox studios,
I mean,
but
that specific group
yeah, like Compulsion Games, Double Fine,
are the ones that are getting shut down,
Arcane,
basically.
Ninja Theory, managed eight between them. And RGG Studios on its own have managed 12 in the same period, which
But
is just
mate,
one.
they announced a new Senhua game. That's Senhua's Sacrifice, sort of another, the third game in that series. And the following week, they're shutting them down.
It's
So it's like, what he's up to?
one of these things where I don't know where the truth lies, because
Ah.
Jason Schreier came on X and said that it's all just theories at the moment. Nothing's been confirmed. You know, nothing official's been said. Nothing's been said to the studios. Everyone, so the stuff about Xbox barely turning a profit because they're losing so much on their hardware and not really making enough on the services side is true. The stuff about, again, according to Jason Schreier, you know, I'm not a big fan of his either.
No.
But according to him, that's not been shared with any of the studios yet. It's not official. It's maybe just other people putting things together. Not saying it's not true, but obviously, what I find interesting is how quickly people ran with it. Especially when, you know, obviously, PlayStation have had shut down more studios during this generation than Xbox have. And I find it interesting it comes so soon after Xbox having a strong showcase. Maybe it's the
Oh.
Sega fanboy and me being burnt by this stuff, but
Mate,
it feels like the usual FUD.
phone Peter Moore. It's
Yeah,
FUD.
it feels like the usual
Fear,
stuff from
uncertainty,
them,
and doubt.
their mates in the media and stuff. And I know there's probably people listening that are going to go, no, there's no bias in the media. Yes, there is. You see, the kind of funny games are on there, those wankers on there putting videos together saying, no, Xbox don't know what they're doing. It's just like, it's just the Sony defense parade. And maybe even if it is not necessarily Sony paying for people to do stuff, people have got such ingrained bias now. People have loved Nintendo because Nintendo were around with the NES, you know, when there was nothing else out there and Atari was dying a death. And people have loved Sony since the Walkman, and people were absolutely just in their pants when Sony started making a games console. And the two of them, it's always been about the two of them and no one else. The Xbox 360 and the Sega Mega Drive are anomalies as far as I'm concerned, and not because they weren't great consoles and not because there haven't been other great consoles alongside them. It's because people are so ingrained with that kind of that bias. It's like Disney, isn't it? Disney churn out shit and people still pay for it, even though there's better stuff out there. Stuff like, you know, people go and see paying pay to see that crappy Supergirl film, or they'll go and pay to see the fourth Spider-Man film, but no one's seeing Masters of the Universe, which people really should see. So
See, there's one thing that, I mean, this the Skeletor looks phenomenal right after the abomination of Skeletor and the Dolph Lundgren, the Dolph Lundgren film. It was a mask, right? And he looks brilliant. It looks like he's just like, is it Jared Leto that,
Yeah, I didn't realize until the credits rolled.
aye,
I was like, oh, that's Jared Leto.
aye.
Jeez.
I mean, he just has the body language and the mannerisms of Skeletor down to a T. It's absolutely phenomenal. But even the kind of the comic timing of the lines. But there's one thing that annoyed me about the Dolph Lundgren film, and it's the same with this one. See the way Adam says, "I have the power." It doesn't sound right. Why could they not say it the same as the cartoon? Like even like the Dolph one, "I have the power." It's like, but it's like, no. I have the
Yeah, it's a
power.
sound. It's like, yeah,
I.
the
That's like. I mean, I've not seen. What's Battle Cat look like in it?
you don't really see him until the end.
Aye.
Yeah,
So it's
Miles
basically
Spoiler.
setting up a sequel then.
It was meant to set up a franchise to get like a few post-credit scenes.
Aye.
Still, it's most fun I've had watching a film. I watched it with my missus. Going off on a tangent now, talking about Masters of the Universe, but she was like, "Do you want to go and see He-Man?" I was like, "No, okay, I'll go and see it." Didn't have high hopes for it. Went in there, came out with the biggest smile on my face, and just couldn't stop thinking about it. And then like Saturday morning, I've got all sorts of stuff to do because I'm going on holiday after the weekend after this recording, so I've got loads of stuff to do. But I was like, "What's the earliest showing?" Sneaking out the door, I was like, "Connor, do you fancy going to see Masters of the Universe?" So when now I watched it again, loved it even more the second time because I didn't have that kind of, when you go and see a film, you think this is going to be pants.
No.
Because I knew I'd liked it so much, I just enjoyed it front to back this the second time. I absolutely loved it. It's a tragedy that it's doing so badly at the box office, but
Is it?
yeah.
Which means they'll probably can plan for a sequel then if it doesn't make money.
Although, to be honest, I think as a standalone film, it just kind of works. I don't think they need to make a big franchise over. I think they've just got the balance right with this one. Absolutely got the balance right. The casting is great. It's absolutely brilliant. But as I say, mate, it feels like the industry and Sony and Nintendo up to their old tricks. But and I think we've talked about that sort of stuff long enough. We're here to talk about
I
some new
know.
Sega games.
It's new Sega games.
Two in particular, but Sega were quite a fixture in all of these, weren't they? There was a kind of a presence or a big reveal on all of them. So Sonic Racing Cross Worlds got a few trailers for new content, not much to talk about there. And there's the Sega Pico Park, the Sonic Pico Park tie-in. Not really much into there, but Persona 4 Revival and Persona 6 were both revealed at the Xbox showcase, weren't they? Which is really odd considering for so long Persona would skip Xbox. It wasn't until Persona 5 Royal very recently that Xbox finally got a Persona game, and now they seem to be pushing on and have some sort of tie-in with Sega. So that was interesting. Persona 6, obviously we don't know very much about it at all at the moment. Just saw a very short trailer, quite eerie, and then just a 6. So not much there. Persona 4 Revival we've known about for a while, going with the same sort of style as Persona 3 Reload, which it's one of these, mate, where I think going for the cel shaded look just kind of does the original a little bit of injustice because it's one of those PS2 games that's got a very cool PS2 look about it, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
And they're swapping it out for a very stylized look, which looks okay, but it's just one of those ones. Sometimes you just can't replicate those looks of the previous of that generation, can you?
Aye. And that's that talking of cel shading, that's the one of these new Sega games that are coming down the line that will face that problem with Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, it will be.
You know what I mean?
I think it's probably less a case for Jet Setters because obviously the original game was cel shaded, but with Persona 4 Revival, it just kind of changes the entire look of the game, which I suppose is not a bad thing. You just basically treat them as two separate games then. But they were both at the Xbox showcase. Alien Isolation 2, I can't remember when that was shown. I think that was shown at the Summer Games Fest. So we had the trailer, quite a big gameplay reveal, but you're both inside and outside on this one. It's meant to be a kind of echoing Aliens in that you've got your inside a kind of installation and you're outside as well on a terraformed planet. Loved the first one, never finished it because scared the crap out of me. About yourself, mate, did you ever play Alien Isolation or get anywhere with it?
Mate, aliens, fucking that. They just freak me out, that the whole xenomorph thing. Have I told the story about what I did to Sam with the tape?
Yeah, you did. I think for anyone that's unfamiliar, it's worth telling again.
Aye, basically, Sam brought aliens on VHS up to my house to watch, and well, I don't like watch it, right? So I put it on, and I had a VJVC VHS player, and I had the Wii remote control. I had it sat at the side of my sofa, and turned off auto tracking. And as the film started, I sat with my finger on the plus button, and knocked the tracking out of sync, so the picture fucked up, and I basically blamed his tape for being gubbed, so he couldn't watch it. It wasn't until years later that I admitted that I messed with the tracking because I was too much of a shite guy to watch it, mate. They just, oh no.
It's yeah,
Mate,
that's yeah.
even Freak Mutant Alien Trilogy on the Saturn, and they're pixelated as fuck.
Yes, that was kind of, oh God, I used to have nightmares about them all the time, about the xenomorphs. And I think ironically, it was actually the Alien trilogy that I actually kind of started overcoming it a little bit. And I do love the Aliens films, but that thing in Alien Isolation, the way it stalks around you and stomps around. I tried replaying it again recently, and I think I got further than I'd got before, and I was like, all right, just crawling through this vent, and all of a sudden it popped up. I nearly fell out of my seat. I was like, all right, enough of that. I'm not going back to But I do need to finish it, because it's an absolutely stunning game, and I should finish it for to play the second one. But yeah, if you love your survival horror, it's definitely a brilliant game to play. And the last one before we get on to the big two that we'll talk through in detail, mate, was Stranger Than Heaven, from RGG
What's
Studio.
Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg and Tupac. Continuing RGG, modern RGG's questionable collaborations with real life actors and their estates. So they had the questionable casting choices of Yakuza Kiwami 3, which got them in hot water. And now they've ruffled a few feathers by getting the likeness of Tupac, who isn't o the likeness of which isn't owned by Tupac's family, but rather a conglomerate.
Aye,
Yeah, so
jeez.
there's yeah, so in pretty bad taste. However, I think the game itself looks absolutely phenomenal. It is interesting that they said it's not a Yakuza game. They want to look at a new franchise, and they've said that when this first got announced, and now they've said, yeah, it's a prequel to Yakuza. And you're basically founding the Tojo clan, which is the the main clans initially through those first seven mainline games. But it looks phenomenal. Really does look phenomenal. Kind of all that aside, it looks absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that they're able to juggle multiple projects like that, and like one of the other games that we're going to talk about, more power to them, especially in the context that we're talking about, that they're producing more games than, four of Xbox's studios put together, right?
I mean, I keep saying it, the Yakuza games are one's entity. Might play them when I'm a pensioner or something. You know what I mean? Might find time then. The time that happens will be God knows how many new games.
They make a new one every year now, which is frustrating.
You get like a Yakuza along with your FIFA or EAFC.
Yeah, well, they do. It was Kiwami this year, Kiwami 3. It was Yakuza Pirates last year, Infinite Wealth the year before, The Man Who Erased His Name the year before. That it's just, I feel it does dilute the appeal of the franchise a little bit, I think. And working on a video at the moment, basically looking at Yakuza Pirates, where I basically say that that's the case. Probably won't be
What
out
was
by the
the
time.
arcade games in this one, though, mate? That's the thing. That's the
Stranger Than
main
Heaven,
question.
considering it's set in like the 1920s to the 1950s, we
Well,
might not be very well served in that respect.
maybe those wee coin machines, wee 2p machines, like
The
tipping
one,
point.
yeah, well, the early Sega game with the periscope and stuff.
So I didn't know it was set that far back. So there you
Yeah,
go.
it's set way back, but But mate, I think the two that are interested to us, of great interest to us, and franchises that we've talked about a little bit on this show a few times, and a few videos, a few podcasts, two franchises that we're kind of fans of, Virtua Fighter and Crazy Taxi. Which one do you want to touch on first, mate?
Oh, talking about Virtua Fighter, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think go Seg. Yeah, it probably makes sense to go Seg from Stranger Than Heaven into RGG's Virtua Fighter. So we got a first look, got a reveal, got a name, Virtua Fighter Crossroads. I do like how they've colorized the VI as a six, even though it's not Virtua Fighter 6. The first Virtua Fighter game in what will be 20 years by the time it launches. Obviously, we've had updates to five since, but this is the first brand new Virtua Fighter game in 2 decades. Mostly new cast, from what we've seen so far, and the returning cast members look radically different. And a full-on story mode, which makes it look like a Yakuza game. But the fighting engine itself does look pretty good. So what do you think of what you've seen so far, mate?
At first, it was, I wouldn't say jarring, but it was the fact that they opened the reveal, the kind of the big reveal up with the story mode. So straight away they're hitting you with new direction straight away. We'd had the kind of the character model, like kind of leaks and kind of reveals. We had also Wolf's design that was drastically different, you know what I mean? But for them
Like
to open up,
Ganondorf.
to open up with the story modes to basically say this is a change of direction, this is where we're going. And at first I was like, well, it's no why I play Virtua Fighter. It felt like a very Tekken style move. You know, throwing like a kind of like taking force mode, for example. Again, there's like a kind of story behind it. Virtua Fighter never really relied on stories. Each character had a bio, background, hobbies, that kind of thing. And that was enough to kind of like Kage's mother was turned into Jor-El. Oh, there's a bit of a story there. But you know, Sayada was taken away and brainwashed, and Jackie has to try and fight her and get her back and all that. Very, very vague kind of storyline. So for me to go down the route of actually bringing a full-blown story mode in, but I know why they've done it, because the sad truth is that if they had just released a bare bones Virtua Fighter in the vein of the last five games, it would have been like Sega releasing a Sonic the Hedgehog game in 2D when the Saturn came out. It would have been frowned upon, it because there's just so much content in fighting games now. I mean, you look at like, the recent Street Fighters, they've all had to evolve. The Mortal Kombat's, the level of DLC that's in those, the sheer volume of content, there has to be a differentiator. So, a story mode, fine. You know, it is what it is. It'll be good to play something on top of the normal kind of arcade mode to flesh it out. But it was interesting to start to see that that's what they led with. But, in terms of the actual, like, fighting mechanics itself, it is very true to, I think, for what I've seen anyway, how it plays and how it feels is another matter. It's very kind of true to the Yu Suzuki philosophy of being pure martial arts. Like other wee things that kind of stood out, the kind of, they're not so much flashes, but they're it's like kind of like impact kind of effects. Again, VF never needed that. So on one hand, you have got a visual fighting style that is very realistic, and the movement and the counters and the holds and the throws and everything looks like it flows and it's fluid and it just looks, it's poetry, man. It looks beautiful. But at the same time, you're looking at it going, well, you've got that realism there, but why are you putting the kind of hit effects in? So it's like it's kind of at odds with itself a wee bit, but you can't deny that it moves beautifully. Like it's so fluid, and it kind of harks back a wee bit to whenever you first seen VF2 on Saturn a wee bit, that kind of that smoothness going through like VF1 to VF2. If the controls are nailed on, and that's the thing with VF, it's always been key, is that it's the only fighting Dead or Alive 2 is close, but it's the one fighting game where you always felt such a, and it was even Street Fighter Alpha 2 for 2D. Whenever you're pressing something on the controller, it's instant that the characters feel so in tune with the controller. So if they can get that and that feels in there, then who knows, mate? But it's say interesting that they started with story mode. Appreciate why they're doing it. The actual one-on-one fighting looks fluid as hell. So early signs are encouraging.
Yeah. I think well said, mate. I think quite interesting that I drew a lot of parallels with Street Fighter VI in that you got the new character who's the new face, CeeLo, is the one that there who strikes me as kind of the is it Luke in Street Fighter VI? Can't remember, it's been a long time since I played Street Fighter VI, but even though you create your own character in Street Fighter VI, he's the one that's kind of training you and bringing you through it. Obviously Virtua Fighter Crossroads is, it's Crossroads is a lot more focused on telling his story rather than, you know, creating a character, because
Aye.
creating a character in Virtua Fighter just wouldn't work. It's too grounded in reality. But yeah, it's it did strike me as like, yeah, this is a new character. We're going to build the narrative around him. He's the center now. It does look very, very RGG like. Looks like a Yakuza, like a Dragon or a
Aye.
Judgment game. Ironic, given, you know, the tie between the relationship between Yakuza and Shenmue, and Shenmue originally being the Virtua Fighter RPG that it was. So it does feel like it's kind of gone full circle a little bit. But yeah, at the end of the day, you can't bring out a, especially Virtua Fighter looking the way it does, I don't think you can bring out a fighting game in the modern day without something big content-wise attached to it. As I say, Street Fighter VI had the arcade mode, but it also had the World Tour mode, and then the huge online component, because when you boot up, you've got three big areas that you go into. It does feel like they're going the same way with Virtua Fighter, because you're going to have the big story mode. It looks like they still got the arcade mode, and imagine there's going to be a substantial online element, because I
Aye.
think when you had a lot of those early interviews, I'm pretty sure they were talking about it being esports focused as well, because obviously for a fighting game, that's also where the exposure and where the money is, I guess.
Aye. The FGCO will definitely lap it up. I think we were talking before we started recording about Max's video yesterday, and he was like watching the footage, and then he goes, "Hold up." And he just like he pauses it and he puts it on like really slow. And he scrubs back through and he's like that. Like, I think it's, is it Pi? Or like, he calls the character Pi, but it might not be her because if time's advanced as much as it has, then this character's too young to be Pi. But he's like whenever she blocks, there's like 2 frames of like stunned before she gets into like recovery. And there's your and he's analyzing like gaps for where like counters and holds. And again, he's an expert in that field, so he can see these things. But aye, the FGC will lap that up. I think esports is just as an absolute cert. You know, we had the Virtua Fighter esports thing as well already. Could well have been a test bed for this, you
Yeah.
know, setting the foundations. So it's going to cover a lot of bases. You have your online aspect, if you're kind of normal kind of punters, you have your FGC stuff, you have your story mode stuff, and then you have your arcade mode for the old sods like us that are
Yeah.
set in their ways, basically.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because I think that's it does feel like they're taking a lot of influence from Street Fighter 6 in that respect. They'll have those three pillars, and even down to the fact that they mentioned in the story, there's got it's basically all these fighters come together in this one town, which again is Street Fighter Six. Ironically, both the sixth entry in their franchises with a robust story mode set in one town. Although it's hard to think that it'll be as iconic as Metro City is in Street Fighter Six. You even get on the old Final Fight train in Street Fighter Six and beat people up, which is brilliant. But
That's they've got the lore, man. Just dig into it, you know. Why not?
yeah.
That's brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, talking lore, I do think it actually is Pai Chan. I think it's been confirmed that it is Pai,
Is it?
because again, I keep drawing these parallels. A lot like Chun Li is one of the main. It seems to fulfill in a similar role to Chun Li in Street Fighter VI, where she's kind of this older version that's legendary. Again, Pai has always looked broadly similar to Chun Li in terms of design and origin, anyway. But yeah, but I think it's just. I think as far as returning characters are concerned, I think it's just Pi, Wolf, and Akira, who looks fundamentally different now. I think you called him the what did you call him? What's the guy out of Red Dead Redemption?
John Marston.
John Marston, Akira.
John Akira Yuki Marston. It's what it looks like.
And then it's God, what is her name? They call her Stella Bridge. Which is not name. It looks the spit of Sarah Bryant. Whether it's the daughter, which is entirely possible given the time gap, whether it's a clone, whether the sinister J6 corporation that you read about in the manual of Virtua Fighter 2 have cloned her because when she was brainwashed, who knows? And then you've got the new guys, and I think it's only five characters that have been revealed so far, but I think it already it's good. It looks promising. Is it the Virtua Fighter that we wanted? If we park the story part and look at the mechanics, I think it is. I think the thing that I hasn't quite sat well with me is the visuals. Very impressive,
Aye.
very realistic looking, aside from kind of the hit sparks as you mentioned. But I do wonder about, because even when it was at its most realistic, really, because Virtua Fighter has always strived for realism more than anything else. Even back in Virtua Fighter 2, which, with modern eyes, it looks a bit cartoony. But, back in the day, it looked realistic. Same with Virtua Fighter 3, same with Virtua Fighter. Virtua Fighter 4 was a bit more gritty.
Aye.
But still, there was a lot of color there, a lot of design. Whose stage is it? Is it Pies, where you're fighting in the big aquarium?
That's right, the big whale kind of swimming with
Yes,
eye.
that's right. So, it was grounded. It was gritty, it was realistic looking, but at the same time, it's Sega weren't afraid to put in their zany Sega-ness in there, put on their stamp on there. Same with Virtua Fighter 5, and you've got your, whether it's Jackie's cage in the street with the floodlights coming in, or you've got the stadium where you fight El Blaze, and you've got the big bright stadium.
That stage is phenomenal. The level
Yeah,
of
yeah.
detail in that is beautiful.
It's yeah, but it's just got all that. They've got all that color. Whereas this one, so far from what we've seen, it looks kind of muted. And I know it's kind of realism, but I don't want to. It feels like, again, that piss filter from the Xbox 360 era. I don't know what you think about that.
The thing is, again, I'm trying to think of the footage I've watched. I can't remember if there has been, obviously, the reveal. We've seen Akira Marston putting somebody through like a wall, like a kind of wooden kind of wee hut's wall with like a fruit basket or something, like a kind of barrel or a wheelbarrow full of fruit flying through there. But in the footage that I've seen of the kind of one-on-one gameplay, I don't recall seeing any scenery being destroyed. Now, that was brought in VF4. There was like, deformation on the ground if you had snow or sand. You had obviously the certain fences, like is it what's the boy? Is it Lei Fei? Into the
Lei
his
Fei,
stage,
the monk.
yeah. Again, drenched in sunlight, or the sunset looks absolutely beautiful. At the start of the fight, you don't think you can ring out, but if you destroy enough of the fence around the edge, you can actually get a ring out on that stage. So that even if you knock them to the ground, like the tiles on the ground would crack and shatter. I don't see any of that. And I might be wrong, I've just no clocked because I've been too busy watching the fluidity of the movement. But the stages, they're not grey, but they're detailed as hell, but they are lacking life, they're lacking colour. It is gritty, but not gritty in the way that VF4 was. You know what I mean? It's a different type of the VF4 was gritty in terms of the kind of change in visual style. It kind of tweaked up the realism a bit, but it kind of kept enough of the color and the kind of zaniness that you said, the kind of Sega craziness to keep it kind of different. But it had that kind of, like, you look at like Jackie's stage on the rooftop with the helicopter with the lights, that kind of grittiness, that like just aye, like edgy kind of look to it. Whereas this, that it's the backgrounds, I think, especially are very safe, like they're quite generic in that regard. But they're beautiful, they're detailed as hell, like you can see miles, man, like houses and hills and fences and signs and all that. There's detail galore, but while they're detailed, they don't feel alive. You know what I mean? So whether that's, again, they could work on that, they might just be focusing on the character movements beforehand. But right, we'll see, mate. But the backgrounds definitely need a bit of work.
Yeah, I do have a bit of faith that RGG will turn it around and bring some life into it, because Kamurocho and all the areas within the Like a Dragon Yakuza games always have big. Like, I'm playing Yakuza Pirates at the moment. No, I'm not playing at the moment. Just finished it, and obviously you've got Honolulu, you've got Madlantis, and they've all got big things. Whether it's a big oil tanker, those sitting on there, or a big like bar and colorful signs and stuff. I do think they're able to do it, turn it around. It's just whether they will, I think, is because it's very much ingrained in that setting in that city, which is kind of, I don't know, if it's confirmed where it is. It's definitely like South America.
I've not, I mean, like if it's been reviewed, I've not seen it, mate, but
Yeah.
I can't recall where it's based, you know. But I think the thing as well, RGG, I know they've got the pedigree right, and they obviously took on VF5 Ultimate Showdown as a kind of like a test to get their hands on a Virtua Fighter game and kind of try and make it their own sort of thing. But it's just, again, the magic of AM2. That element is what makes Virtua Fighter Virtua Fighter. And if you've not got that, if you don't, I mean, I think Yu Suzuki's been brought in as an advisor, I believe, but you know, without the AM2 guys in there doing their thing, it never will feel like an old school Virtua Fighter. It's impossible because that magic belonged to them. So it's end of the day, it's do you want a new Virtua Fighter or do you not? It's like there's no point in moaning that we don't have the guys for the past, because if they're not making it, somebody else has to, or else you just don't get a new one. You just hope that the people that do make the new one have enough love and passion for the originals and for the AM2 guys' work that they can at least make enough of a homage to it that it still tries to capture some of the spirit. But that's my worry, that it wouldn't quite capture that AM2 magic.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do think there's kind of the vestige of AM2 in there somewhere. Because the AM2 logo pops up on Virtua Fighter 5 Revo, doesn't it? So there's a few in there that I think are old school AM2 heads, whether that's enough. But I think they did enough with Revo to kind of give me some confidence in it. So we'll see. But yeah, I was thinking I did see some kind of damage on some of the fences and stuff where the walls, but not to the extent that you see in Virtua Fighter 4 or 5. Like Virtua Fighter 5, you've got the burning down house and you can put them through the wall there, or you got, I think it's Sarah's stage where you got the, or maybe it's Brad's. Welcome to the Brad Show. You smash the glass
That's right,
and they go
yeah.
through that way. But yeah, I think it's promising, mate. Coming sooner. When's it out? 27?
Wonder if it'll be. Will they still be on Xbox Series consoles? Will we have a new console by then?
I don't think there's going to be any new consoles for a long time.
I know that's RAM price crisis. God, because people keep using AI to make stupid fucking videos, driving the price up. That's all you see when Instagram, when the AI videos come up, just there's always somebody that plays and goes, and this is why I'm paying $300 for a stick of RAM.
Yeah,
It's
there's
like,
one at the moment with I don't know why it's so random, but just like every other post on X at the moment is this still of Nigel Farage having a fight on Question Time, and it just gets, you scroll through it, as it just gets more and more elaborate. Like 1 minute he's pointing at why someone, then he's got him by the collar, then he's about to punch him. There's one where he's got a gun and he's about to shoot someone. And he's
honestly, man.
and that is why games consoles cost so much, and that is why my stick around costs £300.
Because people are making shite.
They are, mate. They are. But hopefully, yeah, I don't think there'll be a new another console. I think this has been confirmed for everything, I think, so far, isn't it? It'll be on Xbox Series S, X, Switch 2, PS5, PC. Yeah, I think 2027 is what's been confirmed, and I'm just looking now.
Yeah.
So, only have to wait until next year, mate, to get a brand new Virtua Fighter. And fingers crossed, it will at least the arcade mode and the mechanics will be solid enough to keep us engaged, and we'll have to do a couple of rounds online, mate.
That's it. I mean, we did buy, well, we didn't buy, we got it for free because we've got every single Gears game, but Gears Reloaded, we're meant to do that co-op, and I've still
Yeah.
ain't written down that yet. So one day, mate.
One day. So that was Virtua Fighter, mate. And then the next one, the next big reveal from our perspective, was Crazy Taxi World Tour. So Crazy Taxi, the new Crazy Taxi, part of the new era, a bunch of games that a bit were announced, God, what, 3 years ago it must be now. Finally getting a name and a reveal and a gameplay. And yeah, what are your thoughts on this one, mate?
So first thoughts were it looks pretty faithful, right? So you can see they've taken elements. Like you watch the trailer and bits of you are going, oh, I recognize that. There's bits of the old map. I recognize that. You've got elements for like Crazy Taxi 3, High Roller, the flames come out the back of the taxi, stuff you're doing your limit cuts and whatnot, your crazy dashes. Visually, it looks like a massively upgraded version of the original. I think they've done their best to try and keep that kind of visual style. Obviously, I can't remember. Has there shown any other cabbies apart from Axel?
I
Can't
don't think
remember.
I've seen any. I watched an 8 minute gameplay video, and it only had Axel in it.
He's a kind of the face, isn't he? Even though I'm a BD Joe man.
Yeah, same here.
Probably the hardest cab to control in the game.
I thought that. So I slight tangent here. Obviously, at the time of recording, we're just reaching the last couple of weeks of the Sega guys Discord challenge for Crazy Taxi, and I put in a pretty poor 10 minute time. I know that was with BDJ. I haven't been playing the game as much over the last few years is my excuse. So I thought, yeah, maybe I should be playing as BDJ. Maybe I should play someone else. Played as Axel. Ended up with $200 less. So I was just like, do you know what? Maybe I just need to go with old reliable Gus, so I'm not getting ping ponged about by all the traffic. And
Gus.
ended up losing two customers, and I just turned it off then. I was just like, what's wrong with me? It must be.
Mate, do you know finding that actually is the same on my GDMU Dreamcast and my disc-based Japanese Dreamcast? The game has more slowdown when you pick Axel. You
I
never
thought
noticed
that.
that?
I know. I thought, because I was playing it, I thought, I don't remember this slowdown.
Whenever you take off for the start with Axel towards the first customer, there's noticeable slowdown. But it only happens with Axel. Likewise, whenever you go over the kind of the ramp, the kind of truck with the ramp up it at the weekend apart before you take a left towards like kind of Pizza Hut and whatnot, that there where you go through the trees or slow down there as well. Now
Yeah,
that
and
slow
I
down,
noticed that.
that's apparently in the Naomi version, but I don't notice it whenever you've got any other cabbie. It's only whenever you've got Axel.
Played that game to death back in the day, and I never noticed it before. And I had to play on a GDMU. I actually got my disc out and put it in my PAL Dreamcast with a disc drive in. I was all hyped to play it, and it was like, hey, it's Crazy Taxi, and just kept booting over and over. And no matter how much I messed with the lens and everything, I just couldn't get it to work. So I ended up having to play it on the GDMU rather than play my original disc version. And yeah, I didn't notice that. I was just like, I don't remember all this slowdown. So whether it's something on the GDMU, I'm not sure.
No, it does it on my Japanese copy as well, mate. I've tried it
Does
on
it?
both. Aye. With Axel, there's for some reason the game has brief little moments of slowdown, but only with him. Like if you pick BD Joe or Gina or Gus, it's not there.
No,
So
very odd.
but don't care. So as long as BD Joe is in the new game, now what better not be the new game is this crazy hop shite, right? Don't want that. Awful move. No need for it. I don't like Crazy Taxi 2. I think it's the most confusing game. Like, it's like a maze. Like, the waypoint literally makes no sense. Like, you think you've to jump over this wall or onto this kind of road, and then you're going the right way, and then the waypoint just goes woof back that way. It's like it's so random. So as long as there's no any crazy hops in it, I'll be happy with that. The kind of bonus games that looked quite interesting, the balancing the pizza boxes.
Yeah.
Now, that was very much a kind of Deli Soma Deluxe hint that I thought there, you know, balancing the noodles. Whether it is influenced by that, I don't know. Maybe there's been kind of coverage of Deli Soma because of its price and whatnot sort of recently as well. So is that kind of maybe influenced them? I don't know. But the one thing that was interesting is the fact that it's got like a sort of race mode,
Yeah.
which you pointed out quite brilliantly. I never noticed. Kind of Forza Horizon vibes off it, mate.
Yeah, I think
Oh.
so. And it's It's funny because I've been playing a lot of Forza Horizon 6 recently. Obviously, it's only came out what, a month or so ago, and obviously I was playing, after I'd thrown my toys out the pram and said, right, that's it for the 10 minutes Sega Guys challenge. I did go back and keep doing arcade mode over and over again. I was playing that a lot, just kind of normal arcade rules, etc. You go on as long as you can, and I was getting, I got was getting back into my groove, and I was getting all the crazy throws. And of course, on Forza Horizon, you get the God, what is it? Obviously, you got the skill points, and I can't remember what they call it, like close call or whatever.
Aye.
And then you go through two cars, it's like through the island, and you build your combo up like that. And I was thinking, yeah, it's that's probably where they got some of that from in Forza Horizon. Obviously, they pick parts of Metropolis Street Racer and stuff as well for the skill system. But you look at the race, and it does very much look like Forza Horizon. You've got the big bright colors, the party atmosphere, all these things flying up saying close call or crazy through or whatever, all popping up. It did just it just like yeah, this is Forza Horizon but with taxis.
Aye, the drift gates,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So, but I again, it's very similar to what we said about Virtua Fighter, mate. It's if they just brought out a generic arcade mode, even if they put a kind of crazy box in there, which it looks like there's going to be kind of like challenges, even that alone would probably not have held up or stood up to scrutiny. But no,
Can
it's
you
I
imagine?
didn't.
Going,
I
hey,
didn't.
here's a game with two maps and 9 mini-games, $70.
Hey, give us all your money for no game. It's like, but no, I mean, the one thing that I did notice, and again, it's going to be key, as much as I said about Virtua Fighter with the responsive controls, Crazy Taxi has got to get the controls right. Now, for the footage, and I think you notice this as well. The impact of the traffic, it doesn't look weighty enough. Now, without playing it, it's hard to tell. But if you're looking at the videos, it looks a wee bit floaty. And you've got to remember the traffic, while being a hindrance, and that's why it's got weight, because you can't just, unless you've got gush, you can just batter through. But most of the time, you will come to a stop if you hit any like any traffic. But you can also strategically use traffic. Like you can crazy drift into like traffic on a bend and kind of use it to kind of catapult through. So
Oh
it's
yeah,
got.
I was gonna say, because when I was playing it, one of the things that I was doing, kind of like your mountain hairpin on Sega Rally,
No.
is use things and not rather than brake, just hit them full pelt to turn your car really quickly, just like that, right?
Right. That's it, mate. And I don't get the feeling from watching that footage that the traffic's quite got that level of kind of weight and physics to it. So if again, it's early, right? They're showing this off. It's came on leaps and bounds. I think it was at Casual Leviathan put a video in the Discord showing what it looked like last time they showed anything. It's came on leaps and bounds. Like the verse that they showed. The kind of was it a leak version and a kind of early prototype version or whatever it was that they put out. And I remember it, and it looked janky. It looked like a shitty voodoo PC game. It just looked awful. And this has captured the vibe of Crazy Taxi, the look, the colours also helps, and you've got the offspring in there. Notice that the footage as well from the racing section had changed the world. Actually, but that's the menu music in the
Yeah.
Dreamcast game, dum, 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 dum. Oh, better not get copyright strike for that, mate. That was fucking spot on.
Was, right? It was. The full song doesn't play, does it? Because
No.
it's a cracking tune as
Oh,
well. I
the way,
mean.
see, look, half of the just kicks in, and also they start singing. Oh, you get Jesus. That's a tune,
Yeah, it's
man.
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, but yeah, I noticed that as well. It helps massively. Now it does, you've always said quite correctly that Crazy Taxi is It's a game of its time. It's a game of 2000 vibes. Or those 99 2000 vibes. Be interested to see what sort of kind of franchises they bring in, if any. Because I don't think I saw any so far. I think the pizza, the like for example, the pizza
Take me
box.
to Starbucks.
Yeah, the pizza boxes were kind of generic looking. Whether they're going to do a tie-in with Pizza Hut or, you know, maybe they'll
They're
switch to
shutting all the
Domino's for this.
Pizza Huts down. All the restaurants are all shutting down. That's mate, they've shut three near me. It's all franchise takeaways now. So can I take it to Pizza Hut anymore? There's no any left. You know what I mean? It's
Take
really
me to the
wee.
kebab shop.
Take me to Tesco.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna bring, because yeah, Offspring. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because you know, if you're who's the target audience for this? Obviously, it's got to be us, because you know, we were 20s. We were the target audience in 99 when we were, you know, teens to 20-year-olds. But well, a teen to 20-year-old is gonna really want to hear that with the Offspring today. It's
I mean, their gigs, if you look at it, most of these bands have all got reasonably young followings, which is,
it's true.
it's quite funny. It's like you're seeing people who are the age you were when you were watching them, and listen to the kind of they were new, and they're getting in it, which is quite cool to see that obviously people are still kind of resonating with their music. But aye, it's Crazy Taxi has stuck, for me, what it looks like anyway, has stuck far closer to its roots than what VF has. VF's obviously trying to kind of evolve, and that's that kind of RGG influence that we spoke about. But with this here, it does look as if they are trying to stick as close to the formula of the first game as possible. Because I've said that many times, that first game is lightning in a bottle. It's like to replicate that will be so difficult because it's a product of its time, because of the brands, because of the music, because of the vibe. But they've got the visual style nailed down. As I said before, it's like a very upscaled version of the original game. And I know there's a whole thing about AI being used for background assets and whatnot. No getting into that. I just want to play the game. I don't. Anyway, my stance on AI is I'm not a fan of AI for content creation, right? I think it's lazy, right? If you can write something, write it. If you can build something, build it. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and criticize people, professionals who use it, or even people in the homebrew scene who use it to give us things, games and translations and whatnot that we otherwise wouldn't get. So there's a fine line. Like, do you really need AI to build background assets? That is a bit lazy, right?
Yeah.
But it's not as if they've not stuck the full game code into like ChatGPT and went and build his Crazy Taxi. You know what I mean? So there's a line, you know, it's we either get these games or we don't. Do you want a new Crazy Taxi? Do you want Sega Gaga translated? Then needs must, mate.
I'm of the same opinion. You know, generative AI for creating visuals doesn't is isn't especially with its final visuals, does it's not good at all. But you know, using AI in any sort, because AI as a blanket term, you know, people can say you use AI in all sorts of ways. You know, I use AI in my role. Was writing some code the other day. And usually in the, you know, a few years ago, I'd go into Google and say, "Google, tell me how to
Copilot,
do this."
mate.
Yeah, I'd go into Google, tell me how to do this, and it'll be like, "Let's go to Stack Overflow," and then you'd get like a few different solutions that no might not quite fit what it is you're doing, and then you can use kind of ChatGPT or Copilot, and you can give you quite specific, and you can use it that way as to kind of help you. So if they're using it that way, it's as far as I'm concerned, it's fine. You look at the spiraling costs of some of these games. You know, these development studios kind of need all the help they can, but there's still a moral issue I have if they're kind of not letting artists create art. And I think that's the line. Using it as a tool for efficiency is one thing. Using it as a tool to replace kind of that human creativity is another, and that's kind of where I draw the line. A few
Right.
people, there'll be a spectrum of people that have different opinions about it.
Nice.
But as you say, mate, sometimes it's, people got to find these efficiencies. Games companies have got to find these efficiencies because these games are costing hundreds of millions of dollars to create, and it's just not sustainable for them to continue costing that much.
I do wonder how much Crazy Taxi and VF Crossroads are costing, you know. And the thing with Gen AI and all that as well, it's like there's a whole kind of plagiarism aspect, you know, because it's basically drawn from other people's work to create this. The thing again, and I spoke to you about it, and people may have may not noticed it. In the footage, there's a still of Axel with a passenger getting in, and he's a quite rotund man with a diner apron and a cap, a red and white cap on. And at my first glance, he looked like the baseball stadium guy for the first game. Now, whenever you stop on him, again, he's quite a wee portly looking gentleman. He's got a red, white, and blue cap on, and he's got a kind of stripy baseball shirt on that at a glance could look like an apron. And again, part of me was like, have they stuck the original cast of passengers into Gen AI and, like I said, make us variants of these passengers? Again, I'm just speculating, but the similarities between the diner guy in the new game and the baseball stadium guy, were there's just too much, like the shirt that could easily be reworked to look like an apron, the cap, the build, just to kind of give the general look of them. It was like very, very similar. So I don't know whether that's the case, but it kind of is it one of the kind of the videos you see where people go, then they start typing into Google and then they find something in it. Yes. Instagram rabbit hole videos, but I don't know, mate. As I say, it's a kind of murky area. Studios are obviously going to start looking for ways to cut costs because of how much it is costing for these games to get made. The pressure that's on to make a profit on them, you know, in this day and age, we're seeing, as we said at the top of the show, what's happening with Xbox, you know what I mean? So it's not a defense for it. As I say, my one worry and concern is always that as the years go on, whether it happens in the time that we're still doing this, I don't know. But there'll probably come a time where people will just fire into this stuff, make me a video about the 40th anniversary of Sonic the Hedgehog, and it might churn out something. I did laugh though, because there's a lot of videos that do like AI narration, right? And like you can tell I'm a mile off. But it was a Transformers video I was watching, and the narration sounded too perfect, right? Like we write our scripts and then we record them, so we don't have like the conversational ahs and ums that you normally get. But this was like it was going okay, but you could tell it was getting a bit robotic, and then it said Energon, and it went Energon, and I went, "You AI piece of shit!" And it's like, but like I don't understand. And there was like a guy again. It was like a gaming channel. And someone called in the comments, "Is this your voice or is it AI?" And they replied, "It's AI. Ain't got no time to record voiceovers." Why
Beautiful.
have you made a channel then, you lazy bastard? Like, again, it's like there's a line. Like,
Oh, please
it's...
tell me you've seen the WWE video.
what one?
They put out a video, and I think they must have AI narrated it. And when it got to say WWE, it basically broke down and went there. Where? Oh, mate. Oh, I have to try and find it. It was a few weeks ago, I think.
How did somebody not proof watch that to see what
Yeah.
happened?
I don't know if it was a video or if it was a live thing. As I saw it was kind of it was
Oh
clipped out and put
man.
on X, but I was like, it makes me think of, like, AI is all this sophisticated stuff, but really, how far away are we from, like, Back to the Future 2, when you've got the two competing heads in the diner with Ronald Reagan and the other guy? Yeah, no, it's special, it's special.
I get Michael Jackson's heat cure to serve you a Pepsi. We got burgers, cheese.
Hamburger.
Actually, it stops. Hamburger. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Just give me a
No.
Pepsi free. You want a Pepsi pal, you're going to pay for it. Oh,
Oh God, yeah. But yeah, anyway, Crazy Taxi. I thought it looked solid. There was a few people on kind of lambasting it. People saying it lacked sauce, saying that you couldn't do any of the moves, saying like I can't see any limit. I can't see any kind of crazy. I can't remember what it's called, the crazy dash. And I was thinking, I can see this crazy dash. I can see the limit cuts. I can
aye,
see him
because the
doing limit
flames
cuts because
come
the
out.
flames keep coming out because it's all that exaggerated Crazy Taxi 3 stuff that you see. So, yeah, I thought it looked like the gameplay was there. It's just the physics, as we were saying. I think that's the part where, and maybe it was made to look like you're kind of a bulldozer just to kind of make it look appealing. Because, yeah, I think if if it's a brand new game and people are still finding their way through it, if the car's ping ponging all over the place and you can't, it doesn't look like you're actually racing it that well. Probably not a good, probably not as much of a good advertisement for the game itself.
Mate, see if this game starts and it's got a fucking tutorial. I will.
Yeah,
As long as you can skip it, press the gas button to drive.
hey, put the car into reverse.
If you want to do a limit cut, you're going to have cramp. Hey, 40 minutes later, your thumbs are fucked. It's like. Come off a session on Dreamcast with carpal tunnel syndrome, and it's like
I always have the sound ingrained in my head afterwards as well. When you're limit cutting over and over again, it's woo,
guy Robocop. It's like, and you get the kind of the rumble of the your taxi hits the ground. It's like,
watch it, you nearly killed me.
hey, what are you going?
Oh,
Oh, you're getting a fat tip.
I think yeah. I mean that's
I think
it's
they need to
just
make sure they put in, mate. They've got to have the passenger quips. That needs to be. That's key, man.
yeah. And that's where a lot of the sauce was, I think. People were saying it was sauceless. I think it looked like it got the sauce, but it's all in the personality. It all adds up together. And part of the reason I don't like the PS2 version is because they changed the voice actors. They don't sound as charismatic as kind of the original Dreamcast games. I don't know why they decided to change them, or maybe why they had to change them. Maybe it's because
Don't
Acclaim did
employ an
the
uncharismatic bore like you.
port. Hey, no one calls BD Joe on Crossmatic.
Let's kick tailgate.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they changed it. But yeah, you've got to have the right voice cast, and you've got to have that banter from the passengers as well. As I say, when I was playing it the other day, it is still quite amusing when you hear them kind of lose their rag and climb out the taxi, even when their destination is like 2 feet away.
Aye, like you could still have gave me the fair man and let him like fucking 2 foot away. Come on, people. It's just, but if the elements are in there, the little kind of gameplay elements, the depth that we've spoken about so many times. Like, hang on, I feel a bit embarrassed actually talking about Crazy Taxi like an expert after seeing that high score for that Dan 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 guy.
Yeah.
$580,000. He must have been playing for a fortnight. He
Think he said he was
on the
doing some
rickshaw.
sort of drift exploit.
Aye, is the rickshaw he was on as well? It says, unbelievable, man. $580,000. Incredible, man. I'd love to see that run. Like, if that
Yeah.
was ever recorded, might be again. Might need
That's
a
the
while
thing,
to
isn't it?
watch it.
He did it on an arcade cab.
That's right, eh?
So obviously he wouldn't be able to plug in his recording equipment to get it off there. He'd have to video cam it, I think, which yeah, it's a shame. I'd love to see it as well.
Mate, if
But I
I walked up
suppose
to a cabinet and seen that on their tripod mode, I'd just walk away.
that's
Well, that's
a
that
Homer Simpson fading back into the bushes again.
then, isn't it? Maybe another time. Not today.
But I suppose that's that's going to be one of the key things, I think. I fully expect there to be a story mode to Crazy Taxi World
World
Tour.
Tour,
There'll
right.
be a reason why there's a world tour. There'll be cutscenes. There'll be a narrative. There'll be a campaign that you have to go through. There'll be objectives. We've seen there's all sorts of kind of objectives, mini games woven into the map, whether it's races or the pizza delivery. There'll be all sorts of that sort of stuff. There's obviously the races. There'll be mini games, but I think if the core arcade experience is there, and I think that's the most important thing. As long as the core arcade experience is there, I think that's the most exciting thing. Probably more for you than me, because I think if you can play to that standard, and if we get that high on the leaderboards, and you know people are gonna, it's the modern day, people just hit the share button or the record button on their PlayStation, Switch or Xbox controller.
Man.
People, you're gonna be able to see that run uploaded. Maybe like Virtua Fighter Revo, where it saves the replays. Maybe there'll be a function like that where it saves the replay of the session. And that's probably the most exciting thing to me, because that's kind of like we're running the community challenge at the moment, is that sort of community-led competitiveness
Aye.
on a worldwide scale, I think is exciting.
Aye. So as long as they get the arcade mode right, mate, they get the handling right, they get the kind of the other wee kind of aspects, like the kind of passenger quips and the brands that they choose as well. If they can just get all those wee things nailed, it should do okay. But aye, I think the World Tour aspect, remember there was like footage, early footage where like, it was like police cars as well. So I don't know if there's some kind of, I think it's one premise that someone suggested that it might be like a kind of like a Fortnite or PUBG style where you've got to be within a certain zone, you have to race within like it'll close in it. I don't know, it's just people just surmising what it could be. But aye, there's still elements that they've not shown us. There's definitely more, there's more than meets the eye. So but aye, no, it looks good, mate. It's not going to come on. I've always kind of said like on the Discord or on here, like, you'll not beat the first game. The first game's the best. It can't be beaten. Obviously, they'll give it a damn good go. As long as it's as good, if it feels like Crazy Taxi, and I mean that by the Dreamcast and arcade version, then it should do well. They've got the look so far. They just need the feel. They get that. Could be a winner, mate.
Could be. If it's got the looks, if it's got the feel, and it manages to catch the zeitgeist, the mass market, hopefully it'll do well. And that will mean that we Sega's new games, new era projects continues on. So fingers crossed, mate. But I think that pretty much sums it up for both the big games and touching on all the others. So exciting times, mate. Exciting times indeed.
That's it. I see. I tell you now, the industry seems to be eating itself alive. It's nice to see there's still some kind of old school Sega games coming out. Like, it's we've all said, like, the new Sega will never have the aura or the energy or the craziness of old Sega. But old Sega that we grew up with existed at a time when more risks could be taken. The industry we're in now is very risk averse. We've seen it with Xbox closing down studios and cutting staff, and like they're saying, no more passion projects. It's got to be kind of like franchises that are going to sell. So that's where we are. You know what I mean? So in that kind of era, that we grew up with Sega, there was risks to be taken, and we benefited for that for the experiences that we got. But if those experiences that were born from that craziness can influence today's Sega in some way to hook into it, to tap into it, to give us even a taste, mate, then they can't do far wrong. So, aye, let's see what happens.
Yeah, perfectly said, mate. Just letting that spirit live on
That's that, mate.
through today's games. So viewers, listeners would love to hear what you think, about any of the games shown during those summer showcases, whether it was PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, or the Summer Games Fest. I'd love to know what you think, particularly about Virtua Fighter and Crazy Taxi World Tour. What's your favorite? What's your highlight? What you like? What you dislike? Let us know in the comments below and on the Sega Guys Discord. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a like or a subscribe, because that really helps the channel. Getting close to 20. Well, I think we're nearly at 18,000 subscribers at the time of recording, which is absolutely phenomenal. So thank you very much for that. And if you want to be extra mega, you can become a member with a bunch of awesome perks, such as getting your name read out, just as James is about to do right now.
Certainly, our Akira All Access members for today's show. We have G-Man, Stiff Peaks, I Am Mikowski, Craig Williamson, Resident SD, P-Wall, Peter 007, Nick Tullock 1882, Greg Matthews, Tom Fum, Kaiju Leviathan, David Owens, Drickass Zero, Pablo Plays 98, Sancho 0813, Silver Spear 21, scrolling down, and Luke Thorpe dash Cool Hand. Luke, have you added Cool Hand to your handle, mate? Because I don't remember seeing that one. You were just Luke Thorpe, I'm sure. Don't they? That just throws me, man. I've got my wee. I memorize these names. Don't throw me, mate. Come on. But no, thank you very much to all our members and subscribers for your continued support. 18K just around the corner. Dan, you've done another one of these mad videos where if it's either Sonic or Street Fighter, they start slow, they look like they're going to flop, and then they just get like a day in and just go poof. So it's absolutely crushing it. Way 11,000 views just now.
Oh, 11,000 now.
11,000, mate. 63 new subscribers off the back of it. So welcome to the Sega Guys family, everyone who's joined from the back of that. But no, great job with that video, mate. I've watched that a while back whenever you also uploaded it. So good stuff, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Yeah, I mean, Sonic's not been doing the business lately, but thankfully Street Fighter still seems to be
The old
popular.
faithful, mate. Good old Street Fighter.
It still seems to be popular, but yeah, as you say, mate, thank you everyone, and those of you that do subscribe, you are, it's like Fast and the Furious. You are family. I was about to say, when you're reading the names out, it is like family members changing their names, because we see our members' names all the time, and it's like we know you. So when you change your name, it does throw us.
So, is that something new?
We know you guys, and hey, that's just how much we value our subscribers, our viewers, and our members. So thank you so much for coming on this journey with us, as always. Until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
You go.